of Matthew and Children's Church. So if you will, you can head in that direction with Miss Diana. So good to see you in church today. And if you will, Matthew's Gospel. We're going to be in start in chapter 3 and that. So if you're interested in getting a ticket, tickets are available right now for the Imperials concert. That's only 2 months away. So the Imperials will be here on a Friday night, and you can get a ticket now for $18. If you wait at the door, it's $20. If you want to get a free ticket and come, just help us sell the tickets. For every 10 tickets sold, you get a free one, and that. So if you want to get a couple free tickets, let your friends and neighbors know, and encourage them to come that night for that gospel concert. Be on Friday night, April the 1st, if you will. Make a note of that. Also today, it's good to see Chris and Ellen Putman in church. Now, I don't know where they're at in the sanctuary. Where are they? Oh, there they are. All right. Good to see them. And stand up so everybody can see you. Yeah, you look younger than when you went moved up to Hawks. So, and that's Chris and Ellen. Give them a hand. And good to have you down here all the way from the big city of Hawks, Michigan. And they've been retired for a while, but they moved up to Hawks, sold their place down here in Wayne, and moved up by the camp up there, not too far from the camp. And so good to see them. They're down here for the weekend. And so Chris, I know Chris has been a member of the church for over 50 years. Ellen, I don't know about you, how many years, but what'd she say? Since you were married, okay. And that's been quite a while. Those years are clicking right away. And good to see you too. Chris is going to help. They have the Awana Grand Prix. Awana's tonight at 5 o'clock, but the Awana Grand Prix is at 5:30. And so they got the track set up over in the gym, and some have made cars. They do the Awana races and give out the awards. And so if you'd like to see that tonight, Awana at 5 o'clock, and I think they're going to do the race around 5:30. We'll have a service in here at 6. But pray also for our youth pastor and Adam and Haley. I don't know if they're tuned in on the live streaming today, but Haley got exposed to COVID, tested positive this week, and so they're not in the service today. So they had to cancel the youth activity that was scheduled for today, the winter jam. And once they get back here, they'll get that rescheduled and get that back on the calendar and get going with that. So pray for these folks. Good to have Chris and Ellen down here, and good to see them. Pray for them. Also, I'd ask you to pray today for Bob Sabo. Bob, do you mind standing back here so folks can see you? Pray for this man here and that. So his daughter, sweet daughter, went to be with the Lord this week. So it was about 2 years ago. We were just talking about it, and that 2 years ago that Joanne went to heaven, his wife. About a month after that, his son went to be with the Lord, and now his daughter went to be with the Lord, one of the daughters. So still has two daughters, Lori and Michelle. And so pray for, there's not going to be a service, my understanding, correct? There's no service. But our hearts go out to Bob and what he's going through with the family there. And, you know, it's the longer you live, the more you get to know in heaven and that. So if you will, I'd encourage you to pray for Bob and the family and that as he's lost now another one of his children that's going on ahead of him. And waiting till that day, he'll meet the Lord there in a grand reunion. So praise the Lord. One day soon. Amen. And that. So I thought it was important that here we're going to start today. I don't know, it might take two or three Sundays to get through this and that, but I think it was important. You know, when you get saved and you come to know the Lord, I don't know about you, but I did not understand everything about my salvation the day I got saved. I just knew that I came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He convicted me of my sin. I heard the gospel for the first time clearly, what it meant to be saved, and I could not save myself, and I had to call upon the Lord to be saved. And so I did that at age 16. And then 2 weeks later, followed the Lord in believers' baptism. But at that time, I didn't know what all that meant. I just knew the Holy Spirit was tugging at my heart, and I needed to surrender to Him. And they said, if you want to be saved, come forward and trust the Lord. So I came forward, nailed an old-fashioned altar, and the youth pastor led me to Christ, and I was saved. That was 1967, so that's a long time ago. And since then, I've had a chance to study the Bible a little bit and understand the process of what takes place What happens when a person gets saved? What happens when they come to know the Lord? And I think it's important that you understand, and it's my responsibility as the senior pastor of the church to help the congregation to understand what Bible doctrine is all about, what the teaching of the Scripture is about, and so that you can understand the Word of God from a theological standpoint and the truth of the Scripture. So when you look at it, I want to take this Bible doctrine. Now, you don't have to write this name down, but if you look at the official theological name of what it means to be saved and this Bible doctrine of salvation, and that it's soteriology. And but I'm not going to bore you with getting into a theology class today, but I do think it's so important that you understand scripturally and biblically what happens when a person gets saved. And like I said, you know, for when I got saved, I really didn't the first year, even the two. The only thing I knew this, my heart had changed. I knew something had changed. My desires had changed. I now had a hunger at age 16 for the Word of God that I did not have before. I had a desire to go to church, which I did not have before. I had a desire to share the gospel with my loved ones that were around me that I did not have before. I knew there was something going on in my heart and in my mind. I thought, where did this come from? At age 16 years of age, it began to impact my life tremendously. And then 3 years later, God put His hand on my heart and said, I want you to surrender to full-time ministry and give up your choices and your desires and your will and your plans. And so I told the Lord, okay, God, I'll do that. And but I want to back up to that part of salvation. You know, when you think about salvation and think about many times in the Bible, there's a lot of salvation testimonies in the Scripture. I think one of the most powerful tools that you have anywhere is your personal testimony of when you came to Jesus Christ and trusted Him. That is a sermon, and I would, if I had time, I'd take every one of you and have you come along here, give you a microphone, and say in the next 30 minutes, tell us your testimony and tell us how you came to Christ and how you came to know Him and how salvation impacted your life for Christ. I think in the Bible, Nicodemus came looking for salvation. Lydia, one of the converts, a woman in the book of Acts, converted to Christ and became the first convert and opened up the doors into Europe. When you think about Paul, when he was put into jail there and the Philippian jailer, and God sent an earthquake and opened the prison doors, and all of a sudden then Paul was able to get out, but the Philippian jailer got saved during that time. You go on through the Scripture, there's other places. The Ethiopian eunuch one day was riding along in a chariot and reading the Scripture but didn't understand what he was reading. And Philip come along beside him and joined him and simply said to him, understandest what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading? No, unless some man guide me. And so Philip came up, sit down with him, and explained the Scriptures, explained the salvation, plan of salvation, and must have explained baptism, because then he said, well, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? So the Ethiopian eunuch came to Christ. The Apostle Paul, who was one of the greatest enemies of the church, went about seeking to destroy Christians and putting Christians in jail and trying to slay. It was at the stoning of Stephen when he died. And then all of a sudden on the Damascus Road one day, God struck the apostle, whose name was Saul at that time, struck him down and blinded him, and he came to Christ and was saved, gloriously saved, and opened his eyes, opened his heart, and he was saved and come to know Christ. So how does all that take? Not everybody that hears the gospel gets saved. I remember Paul when he was taken before King Agrippa and had a chance to preach the gospel, share the gospel, and he basically walked him through it's over in the book of Acts, I think chapter 26, and read it there, his personal testimony of how Paul came to Christ. And you know what Agrippa said? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Agrippa did not get saved and did not trust Christ. So I think one of the things of understanding the Bible doctrine of salvation is understand there are several steps in the salvation process. And it happens, many of these happen simultaneously, and we don't even know it or not aware of it. And the first one that I want to preach on today is the first step. Step number one is repentance. I don't think anybody can get saved without repentance, true repentance of coming to God and to trusting Jesus Christ. But in the Bible doctrine of salvation, when you and I get saved, there are several things that goes on in the process of us being saved. Of the fact of repentance happens, faith, we come to saving faith in Christ. The Bible says that we are regenerated by the power of God. We'll talk about that on another Sunday. It talks about justification, that we are justified in God, and adoption, that you and I are adopted into the family of God the moment that you're saved and come to know Him as personal Lord and Savior. Our sanctification takes place in the process of salvation, and then our prayer life. And so let's look at the importance here of repentance. Repentance is simply in the Bible. And when you look at Matthew 3, we're going to read some verses here in a moment, but Matthew 3, 1. But repentance is defined as the act of repenting as a sincere regret. It is a remorse. Each person who turns to God in genuine repentance and faith, the Bible says, will be saved. You know, this word about being saved is so important. And I trust, I don't know about you, but may it never get old in your life. Repentance is really then a transformation in thinking that leads to a change in action, is what repentance is all about. And so when John the Baptist, you know, the Bible went silent for 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they kept talking about there was a Messiah coming, a Christ is coming, a virgin-born Son of God. Isaiah talked about the virgin-born Son of God would be coming, but they didn't know when. So 100 years goes by, another 100 years goes by, another 100 years goes by, and another 100 years goes by, and all of a sudden it's time for the Messiah to come. So what does God do? God sends a forerunner, an announcer, somebody to proclaim to the world that the Messiah is coming. And so what is the message that he preaches? In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1, John the Baptist shows up on the scene. And in those days, in verse 1, came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, notice this now, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Notice that word, repent ye. So the message is loud and clear from the very beginning is the world, the human race, needs repentance. And so repentance, again, is a transformation in thinking that leads to a change in our action. And I didn't understand it when it happened to me, but I began to understand that something happened, and this thing about being saved is changed my life, changed my direction, changed my way of thinking, changed my actions. And I had to cut loose friends that I had, friends for years that I was running around with. Some of them were not good influences. So you had to make a choice. Are you going to keep those friends that are not good influences in your life, or are you going to cut them loose? You got to make a choice of how you're going to live for God. And if you're going to live for Him, if you've truly repented of your sin and there's a transformation taking place in your thinking, it will change your action, which will change the fruit in your life. And so when you think about it, sometimes I see it. I can't explain it, but I do sometimes see that somebody will come and they'll want to receive Christ, or they'll confess their sins and to be saved. And sometimes, you know, you want to make sure that they're wanting to be genuinely born again, genuinely repenting of their sin. Because if they don't, they'll say that, or they'll pray a sinner's prayer to get saved just so maybe you'll leave them alone. How do you know somebody is genuinely saved? You know how you know? There's true repentance in their life. And that true repentance in their life leads to action. Repentance is to make a change of our mind, is to make a change in our heart, is to make a change in our actions by turning away from sin and self and returning and coming to God. So when you look at it, we find that there are certain things in our repentance that number one is responsibility. We must recognize that we have done wrong. Nobody ever gets saved until they recognize that they're a sinner. If you don't recognize you're a sinner, you will never get saved. The Bible is very clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. So step number one, when you're sharing your faith with others, sharing your testimony with others, you've got to lead them to the point where they understand that they are lost and without Christ. You'll never get saved until you understand you're lost, until you need a transformation, until you need to be regenerated. So there's a responsibility. We must recognize that we've done wrong. Second thing is, then there becomes a regret. We must have a true remorse for the wrongdoing, for the pain, for the problems we've caused, or maybe the way we've lived or what we've done. But you know, what makes a person a sinner is not what you've done, although that definitely probably is sin for all of us. The Bible simply says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 that we have inherited a sin nature through Adam. And because of Adam, that sin nature has passed on all of us. There is nobody that is not a sinner. That includes the Virgin Mary. That includes the Pope. That includes the pastor. That includes the deacons. That includes everybody of all walks of life. Everybody from the President of the United States down through the Congress, through the Senate, through the House, through whatever, there is nobody that is exempt from being a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there must be a regret. And then thirdly, there must be a resolve. Our resolve is we must be committed to never repeat that act or whatever that is, regardless of the temptations and the situations that arose in our life. Now, let's look at it here. We said in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1 and verse 2, here's John the Baptist arriving and beginning his public ministry, and also as did Jesus when he started his public ministry. Notice that they both started with this thing called repentance. Look at it in Matthew chapter 4. John starts his in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, verse 2. And you get into Matthew, later in Matthew chapter 3 is on the baptism. Jesus comes to John the Baptist and desires to be baptized. But you get into chapter 4, the first thing you notice in chapter 4 is right after the baptism is the temptation. Is that Jesus then became tempted three times the temptation, and three times he resisted. And we find then the devil finally left him. But when you get here to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, and from that time, this is what? Right after his baptism, launching his public ministry, Jesus said, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So salvation always begins with repentance. Always it begins with repentance. Anybody that is saved, it begins with repentance. And so when you look at it here in the Scripture, when Jesus sent forth the 12 apostles and then the 70 messengers to proclaim the good news of the gospel of the kingdom, he commanded them to go and preach repentance. Preach that you must be saved and to recognize that we're all sinners and we need to come to Christ. Go over to Acts chapter 2. And verse 38. Let me show you some things in Scripture this morning. And foremost in the preaching of the apostles, John the Baptist started out preaching repentance. Jesus launched his public ministry preaching repentance. Now you get to Acts chapter 2, and you get down to verse 38. Now Peter, being an apostle, and on the day of Pentecost, you find that there's much going on in Acts chapter 2 regarding Peter. But then the Bible says in verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, a lot of things going on in that. This is at the time of Pentecost, and Peter was coming, and so here it is. John says you got to repent. Jesus says you got to repent. Peter comes on the day of Pentecost, says you got to repent and come to him. If you'll repent of your sin and come to him, he says here on the day of Pentecost, and he says, and then be baptized, and every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for what? For the remission of your sins, for the forgiveness of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When do you receive the Holy Ghost? At salvation. The moment you get saved is the moment you get the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and convicts us of our sin, and the Holy Spirit begins to show us the error of our way and the decisions we made and the choices we made. And so the Holy Spirit, it was the Holy Spirit that drew my heart. I didn't go looking for God. The truth of the matter is, you didn't either. And so God came, and it's a divine gift. Repentance is a divine gift that God the Father draws mankind to salvation through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so therefore, you find that you and I have a choice then that we can make. You can choose to accept that salvation. You can choose to repent of your sin, or you can choose to not repent of your sin and deny him. That's what King Agrippa did. And so when you look at it here, Peter came and said very simply that you must be saved. You must repent of your sin and then be baptized. And in doing so, as salvation, you receive the Holy Spirit. You have, at salvation, the power of the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, in and through your life working day by day. You may not even know he's there. The third person, I think the third person of the Trinity is the one that gets the least amount of recognition and the least importance, and yet it's very, very important, the Holy Spirit of God. And so he comes into our heart. Now you're a new creation in Christ, and the Holy Spirit and your spirit, he changes, and the Bible says you're born again. Notice in Acts chapter 20 that after Paul is saved and changed on the Damascus Road, we find that when you get to Acts chapter 20 and verse 21, about Paul, the Apostle Paul simply is that testifying both to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we'll get to faith, because I think one of the steps in the process of salvation, it always begins with repentance, and then faith comes after that. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's another important point, I think, that we need to understand. Nobody ever gets saved apart from the Word of God. It's amazing to me to see, if you just take the gospel and listen to the gospel. You know, I went to a church my family went to, and I grew up in. I have family that are Nazarenes. I have family that are in the Methodist Church. I have family that are in the Baptist Church. I don't know that I have any family that are in the Catholic Church or whatever, but I went to the Methodist Church all those years, the United Methodist Church. And I went to church every Sunday. My mom made us go. We went, and I never really got much out of it. What I got out of it was they had Cub Scouts and they had Boy Scouts, and I love the outdoors, and I love camping, and I love scouting, and I love that. So I decided, you know, I'd go. And I went. I went all the way through the whole scouting program. Matter of fact, when I was 14 years old, I took one whole summer and worked for 2 months at a scout camp in the state of Ohio. I loved it. And the neat thing was they let me drive a Jeep that was there. You can imagine being 14. Now, you probably wouldn't like this, but it's interesting because I got a granddaughter right now that's age 14, and she's just dying to drive. The other day, my wife pulled in and parked our vehicle, but she was out away from the curb, so Nita got inside, and she realized, you know, she probably should go back out and move the vehicle, and she said, Michaela? Now, Michaela was here last Sunday, but said, Michaela, you want to go out and move the vehicle and oh, yeah, man, she grabbed those car keys, and bam, out the door she went. So I thought, you know, some kids love it and some don't. I was driving farm equipment at a very young age. So when you look at it here in Scripture, let's go to this verse in Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. Here we find that Paul is saying here, testifying both to the Jew and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So faith comes after repentance. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God is so important. So the burden of the heart of God and His one command to all men everywhere is that they should repent. Let me show you this. Go over to 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, and we live in a society today where there's a lot of social gospel, a lot of entertainment in churches, and a lot of things that go on that sometimes I wonder if it ever leads to repentance. If it does not lead to repentance, it'll never lead to true salvation. And so when you look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not wanting that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all should come to repentance. And so we find here so important that God desires that every person come to know him. And we find here in the Scripture that he's not slack concerning that promise, that he's long-suffering, meaning he's patient, and he's waiting for people to be saved. The most important thing is to get the gospel to another person so they can hear that gospel and be saved. Also, back in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, I think points out the same thing, that the burden in the heart of God is that all men and all women of all walks of life come to repentance. Let's go over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. Failure on the part of man to heed God's call to repentance means that they shall utterly perish. You know, I like to believe that, it would be nice to believe, but it's not true, that when somebody dies, that everybody's going to go to heaven. That's not true. The Bible does not teach that. There'll be some that'll go to heaven. There'll be some that will perish and go to hell. And the Bible makes that very clear and very distinct. And so when you think about it here, I don't know about you, but once I understood that and began to realize that if I don't get the gospel to my family, to my relatives, to my neighbors, or anybody I can, they are going to spend eternity in a place called hell. They are going to perish. Luke chapter 13, you notice in verse 13, he said, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So I know we're not to judge, but we must repent. Matter of fact, you go back up to verse 1 in that, Luke 13. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And then Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. And then verse 3, no, he said, I tell you, nay, or no. He said, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. So repentance always is step number one in salvation. Repentance is always that divine pull. It's that Holy Spirit draw to your heart and to your life to come to Christ. And so repentance is a major important part of salvation. You do not hear or see much preaching in, really in the world we live in today about repentance. It's not very popular when you think about it. But the need for it has not changed. The need for repentance has not diminished. Without repentance, there never will be true salvation. So God has not lessened and God has not changed the terms of admission into the kingdom of God by lessening this thing on repentance. It's got to be repentance. You got to be able to understand and realize that the draw. You say, well, I did not understand it at the time I got saved. I didn't know what was going on. I just knew this. Something was tugging at my heart and I knew that I was a sinner and I needed to come. And after hearing the gospel and open my heart and trust Christ as Savior. What I did not know was taking place at that time was repentance. When I got on my knees and prayed and confessed my sin and asked God to save me, that there was a divine work going on in my heart and in my life, and that is true repentance, coming to God. And so the nature, notice there's really a threefold nature of true repentance. Go to Matthew 21:29. Let me show you these in the scripture. And that is, first of all, the intellect, touching the intellect. Matthew 21, and it's really threefold. And as touching the intellect, when you get down to Matthew 21, and in verse 29, the Bible simply, well, really verse 28 too. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and then went. So repentance means to change your mind. And he came to the second in verse 30, and likewise he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of the Father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publican and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Wow, get your mind around that there's going to be publicans, harlots, going to be sinners, are going to be those that from the lowest part of life and living that will be in heaven that are converted. Only the doorway into heaven must come through repentance. For John came, in verse 32, unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. That's John the Baptist. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. So repentance means to change your mind. It means to change your thinking. It means to change your purpose. It means to change your views regarding what would be interesting? Do a little test this week. Wherever you go, whoever you talk to, just ask them. Just say, hey, dear friend, let me ask you a question. What do you got to do to go to heaven? Shut up, don't say a thing, and just listen to what they say. You're going to get a wide variety. As a matter of fact, many times, and I can oftentimes tell if a person is really saved or not by asking a very key critical question. And I'll say to them, Darren, can I pick on you? I'll just say, Darren, let me ask you this. If you were to die today and God looked at you and said, Darren, why should I let you into heaven? What would you tell him? And then just you got to shut up and not say anything. And if they come back with anything, well, I've been a pretty good person. I really haven't done anything wrong. I haven't stolen anything. I haven't done anything. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't, you know, whatever. If they start rattling off whatever it is, no. If they cannot come back with something that identifies them to Jesus Christ, the blood atonement, and they're sorry for the sin, they repent of their sin, they're not saved. They can tell you they're saved. They're not saved. Just simply ask them that simple question. My friend, let me ask you this. If you died right now and God looked at you and said, why should I? God said, why should I let you into heaven? You need to understand the only way into heaven is through repentance and through salvation that comes to Christ. So touching the intellect here, this is a change of mind as well as illustrating the mind in the prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son over in the Gospel of Luke? And the prodigal went out and went on his way until life got so bad, found himself in the pig pen of life and realized that the hired servants had it better than he did back home. And what did he do? You know, the moment that he, the prodigal son, repented of his sin and it turned around and said, I must go back to my father, and he picked up and went back home. What did he do? You saw a change of mind. You saw a change of heart. What did that? Repentance and coming back home to the father. And they welcomed, get the fatted calf, and we're going to have a party. So repentance, and so when you look at it, this change of mind is illustrated in the prodigal son. It's also illustrated in the life of the publican. And let me ask you this, Jesus hanging on the cross and somebody hanging on each side of him. And remember that, the publican sitting there, remember me when thou enter into paradise. And Jesus told him what? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What happened? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at that second, that man received the divine gift of the Holy Spirit of God and convicted him of his sin, and he repented of his sin, and he was saved. You say, well, was that publican in heaven? Absolutely. Jesus promised him, said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So repentance. On the day of Pentecost, Peter called, as we said in Acts chapter 2, on the crowd to repent of their sin. Notice the second thing is, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. As touching our emotions. You know, we find there's many emotions that could be displayed. I've seen everything, I think, from A to Z when repentance happens. I've seen people just crumble and fall at their knees, weeping their heart out. I've seen others that never shed a tear, but they repented of their sin. Emotions are different for different people, and you're a different emotional individuals. But you find here in 2 Corinthians, and notice in chapter 7, you get down to verse 9, simply says, now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, and ye might receive damage by us in nothing. So the publican, you know, the Bible says, the publican did what? Beat upon his breast, indicating a sorrow of heart. And so emotions are different for each person, and not everybody reacts the same way. The main thing is there's genuine, true repentance that brings a person to salvation in Jesus Christ. And then I think, if you will, go over to Luke chapter 15, and as touching our will and our disposition, you know, the Hebrew word for repent, it means to turn. If somebody comes and gets saved, but there's no change of mind, there's no change of heart, there's no change and they're living, and they keep on doing the same thing over and over, then I would tend to think there's no true repentance there that has taken place. If you have true biblical repentance by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, there will be a change of mind. You will think different. You'll act different. There will be a change in your heart. There will be a change in your life. And so we find here in Luke chapter 15, and you get down to verse 18, 19, and 20. It simply says here, talking about a true repentance, said, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. There was true repentance that took place. Repentance is going in a different direction. Now, I don't know about you, but the day you get saved, my friend, you'll go in a different direction. Your thinking will be different. Repentance is a broken heart for sin and from sin, and we must forsake that we would have God remit. And repentance is a part of the will and disposition is shown in our confession to God. Psalm chapter 38 and verse 18, I will declare my sin. I will be sorry for my sin. David recognized that. You know, David, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, sent Uriah out to the battlefront. Remember that? Go over and read Psalm 51. David, the Bible says, repented of his sin and the wrong that he'd done. He realized he had sinned against God, and he had gotten off track. And so, number one is confessing our sin to God. And in Psalm 38, Luke chapter 18, the publican said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Luke 15, the prodigal said, I have sinned against heaven. Then go back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. Because here's an important verse that shows us that not only should we confess our sin to God, but simply, secondly, then we must forsake that sin that we have. In other words, we can't live the old lifestyle, the old man that we were before. It's a change of heart. You can't keep doing the same things you've been doing before. If there's been a change of heart, true repentance, you will change. You'll get new habits. You'll get new things in life. And so notice Isaiah 55, and you get down to verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God will abundantly pardon. So when you think about it here, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thought. We need to forsake then our sin. And then turning to God, it is not enough to turn away from sin, but then look in 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament. Let me show you this, 1 Thessalonians 1:9. That when you turn away from, if you turn away from sin, turn away and repent of your sin and turn to God, you need to fill your heart and life with God at the fullest. That's why it is so important that when you get saved, you start reading the Bible, you start a prayer life, you start the simple foundational fundamental things that will keep you on a straight and narrow path. If not, if you do not do that, let me tell you what will happen. The old habits will come back, the old ways, the old sinful nature will come back, and the old things will start creeping in again, and you'll be miserable. And so we find here in turning to God, we find here 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, for they themselves show us of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turn to God from idols, serving the living and true God. So you need to turn, we all need to turn, repent of our sin, but turn then towards God. You say, well, how do you do that and what do you do? It's just simply putting in the formula things that will build God into your life. Read your Bible. Pray, go to church, get around good friends and people that will support you in your Christian faith. You need to turn towards Him. And so repentance then is produced. Acts 11, verse 18, then hath God also the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Repentance is a divine gift. 2 Timothy chapter 2, it talks about if God peradventure will give them repentance and acknowledgement of the truth, you can, and notice this too in the Scripture, you and I cannot originate repentance on our own. You say, well, I'm not ready to do that yet, but the day will come, I'll repent, and you may not get that other opportunity. You cannot originate repentance. It's a divine gift. It's a divine draw. It's a divine power of the Holy Spirit of God that draws us to repentance. So when you think about when God the Holy Spirit deals with our lost soul, we're to repent and ask His saving grace. And yet this divine gift is brought about through the use and of means. In Acts 2, the very gospel which calls for repentance produces repentance. Jonah, remember that? Jonah chapter 3 and verse 5 is an example of that. When Nineveh heard the preaching of the Word of God by Jonah, they believed the message they heard and they turned to God, which is too bad. And it took Jonah a long time to get that message and realize that he was to go and to preach to the city of Nineveh. He took the long way to go to Nineveh. So the gospel, when you think about it, is the message that God uses to bring about this desired end. Romans 2:4, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The results is always simple. It brings about heaven, and that, Luke 15, there's joy in heaven and the princes of God and his angels. It makes the heart of God and sets the bells of heaven ringing. You know, I like to believe, I don't know if it's true or not, but every time somebody gets saved and comes to the Lord, it's like ringing the bells of heaven and joy over one sinner that comes to Christ. It brings pardon. It brings forgiveness of our sin. And Isaiah 55:7 and Acts 3, outside of repentance, the prophets and the apostles knew no way of securing a pardon. The only way to get pardon, the only way to get forgiveness of your sin, the only way to have eternal life is through repentance that God places in your heart that draws you to Christ for eternal salvation. And so the Holy Spirit is poured out upon the penitent and repentant, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So think about this. A lot of things happen during the process of salvation, and we'll get to some more of these later on, but it all starts, my friend, with repentance. And simply, have you repented and known as a draw of the Holy Spirit of God that will lead you to salvation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the Bible doctrine of salvation. We thank you for this Bible doctrine of soteriology that teaches us the importance of how important it is that we must repent of our sin, that God, that we are drawn to Christ and by the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit of God to repent of our sin, to recognize that we're a sinner, to recognize that we're lost, to recognize that there needs to be a change of mind and a change of heart in our life. This old life needs to be gotten rid of and got a new life in Christ. And so, God, that comes through the doorway of repentance. If there's one here today that has not yet repented, or one in listening to the live stream today that has not yet repented, may they open their heart, and may the Holy Spirit of God work in their heart and draw them to Christ, that they would ask forgiveness of their sin and put their life in the hands of the Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, God, may all men come to know you as their personal Savior today. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand together. Today, if you will, we'll give a verse of invitation. If I can pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. If you want to come to pray on your own, you're welcome to do that. And if you're interested in First Baptist Church and becoming a member, I'd be glad to talk with you about church membership here at First Baptist to be a member. To be a member here, you must be saved and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. So as we sing, as Rosalind leads us today, if you want to come to pray, you're welcome to come at this time.
Bless me, little gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me.
That before we sing that next verse, the Lord's going to come back when that last person gets saved. Who is that? I have no idea. Could be here in America, could be around the world, could be in Europe, could be in Asia. I have no idea. But as long as God is saving lost souls, God desires that every man, woman, boy, and girl comes to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But anybody that comes has to come through repentance and knowing Him. If you'll lead us in another verse, you come as God leads.
Let me at the throne of mercy
find a sweet relief.
Find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief.
Bowed and every eye closed as these are praying here at the altar. I just want to encourage you to take a moment today. We have a lot of unrest going on in Ukraine and the Russian border. We've been in contact with our missionaries. We have two missionaries in Ukraine. Misha Dion, a young single lady. At first, she was going to stay in Ukraine, and if things heated up, she was going to drive west just to get out of Ukraine to a neighboring country. But the mission office felt that for her own safety, she needed to get out of Ukraine And so her home church is getting her out, and she should be out, should be home by now. So pray for them. Pray for Sean Sullivan, another missionary that we support in Ukraine, if you would. Thank you. Be seated, if you would. And I'd encourage you to pray for those two missionary families today, Misha Dion. We support her. Also, Sean Sullivan in Ukraine. And pray for that heated situation there, that God would give wisdom to the NATO allies, to America, to all those that are having a part, to our military leaders. It's kind of a hot spot and a lot of things going on. Let me just say, on behalf of Nita and I, you as a church family surprised us hugely last Sunday. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you to all of you. I wrote a little clip in the bulletin or whatever, but Alfred and Teresa, the food was absolutely great. God bless you too. Give them a hand. Yeah, I appreciate that. And Hazel Griffin, down here, give her a hand. The wedding cake, yeah. So the wedding cake, the lower layer and the middle layer, is going to be used for the Valentine banquet on February the 12th at 4 o'clock here at the church. But the top part of it, I took it home. She thought I was going to, thought Nita and I were going to freeze it. So we've taken it home. I've sliced off a small slice every day this week. So I've had wedding cake every day this week. And I'm trying to make it stretch as long as we can. And then I'm going to come to the Valentine banquet to have some more. So thank you, Hazel. I appreciate that. Where's Pam? Pam Pierce. Is she in here? She's in the nursery. Mark, you be sure to thank her, because I think she made some cupcakes or cakes or something over there, whatever. And I don't want to miss anybody. The Golden Age, all of you did, you just blessed our hearts. And so we're now working on year number 51. And that we encourage you to hang in there. If you're working it and you're not at 50 yet, you'll get there. Just don't give up. No matter what, don't quit. And, you know, I heard, I think it was Jerry Falwell, somebody said, no matter what, I will not get a divorce. No matter what, I will not get a divorce. I might kill her or him, but I'm not going to get a divorce. And no, seriously, life and marriage can be sweet and happy and joyful. So on Nita and I's behalf, to all of you, we just want to say thank you very much. Pray for Adam and Haley. They should be back in a week. Winter Jam is canceled. The Awana Grand Prix tonight at 5:30. There's a widow's lunch this Thursday. Pray for our widows and our church family. That's at Bob Evans on Ford Road at 12 o'clock noon. And then the ladies have a craft weekend coming up February 10th, 11th, and 12th. We do have a blood drive here, the Red Cross blood drive. They are in dire need of blood and that. And so if you can on February the 15th and help out that would be great. So from the bottom of my heart to all of you, I love all of you dearly and want to thank you for last Sunday. I want to go back. Sherry, you're sitting right here. Thank you for the decorations and all the work that went into all it. You blew us away. When we walked in, we looked at that. And, yeah, give Sherry a hand, yeah, or whoever helped you. I appreciate it so much. And forgive me if I've missed somebody else. If I did, it's not intentional. We love you guys and appreciate each and every one of you. Let's pray and go home. Heavenly Father, God, we love you today. Thank you for the power of the gospel. Thank you for helping us to understand that repentance is always the beginning start of salvation. God, we thank you for the word of God. And Father, we pray and I trust that each and every one here today is saved and they know you and they've gone through that doorway, that step of repentance. And if there's repentance, true repentance in the heart and in the mind and in the life of the believer, God, there'll be a change of our actions. There'll be a change in the way we think. There'll be a change in the way we act and what we do. And so, God, thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit of God that converts us to Christ and allows us to repent of our sin and to be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Good to see you in church.